All right, Ray, let's do this. Ray Allen producing and engineering my show. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you as we get ready to close the books on 2015 this week. Also closing the books on our 5 years on the air. We'll be opening the books on into the sixth year of the Buckmaster Show next week, January 3rd, our five-year anniversary of this project. But right now, it's Monday, December the 28th, 2015. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and looking forward to perhaps a nice week off in preparation for the new year beginning on Friday. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, live streaming our show. That means if you're anywhere near a computer, you can put in buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and we've got the program for you that way. And, of course, podcasts available in the complete archive 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin the way we begin each Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show as we talk politics with a lively discussion between our two political commentators. Then, if you have ever had a traffic light question or a law enforcement question pertaining to traffic, traffic systems engineer Mark Spear will join us in studio to answer your questions at 12:30. Of course, Mr. Spear and former state lawmaker John Kromko led the successful effort to get rid of the red light cameras in the city of Tucson in November. Our live line number 790-2040. Call us if you have a question or comment. Our Facebook page, we just went over the 4,500 mark now of Facebook friends, so there's still room for you. Hope you'll join us. And you can follow us now at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. So got you covered in the social media area. Our Monday political face-off today, Bob Westerman is seated to the right of me. Bob is former Pima County Republican Party chairman. He's also a former legislative candidate. And we have Paul Eckerstrom with us. Paul is a former chair of the State Democratic Party, as well as the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and, of course, on Facebook. Bob, welcome again to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Bill.
Hello, Paul. You had a nice Christmas. Went and saw Star Wars.
Yeah, on Saturday when it was really cold outside and windy. But yeah, it was a great movie. Everybody should see it.
Bob, any stormtroopers were out there?
Yeah. There was stormtroopers out right outside the theater.
And Bob, your equestrian activities did not take a back seat to the cold weather.
No, I just put on a jacket. Good to go.
And the horse loves it too, right?
Actually, they're a lot more, they're a little frisky in the cold weather.
Yeah. Okay. Arizona Republic this morning just named Doug Ducey, Governor Ducey, the Arizona Man of the Year for his settling the lawsuit that had been out there for a long time about education funding. Also for his balancing the budget. Paul, I know when I gave you that news, I saw a big disbelief on your face.
Yeah, if those are the reasons why they gave him Arizona Man of the Year, it's really unfortunate because let's face it. First, he balanced the budget by sweeping all the county funds and hitting Pima County specifically very hard, $25 million worth, versus what they hit Maricopa with, which is $13 million, and they're three times the size we are. That's just plain outright unfair and unjust. And then the other thing he did in this whole lawsuit settlement is basically rob Peter to pay Paul. He basically took money that's earmarked for education in the State Lands Trust Fund and gave it back to them to pay off the debt that was built up by the state legislature when they had cut funds for so many years when they were supposed to keep up with inflation. And And it doesn't get us anywhere on education funding in that it's a drop in the bucket about what needs to happen to get us back to at least average among the other states in the country in terms of education funding. You know, we've had tax cut after tax cut since the early 90s, and including all the way through the recession, it even got worse in terms of the funding issues. And now we're dead last in funding on schools. And this doesn't bring us back to even 49th. We're still dead last. And the problem with it is, as well, is there was a surplus in the budget that could have been used to do this rather than putting at risk
the state trust.
State trust. And, okay. And even the Republican treasurer, state treasurer, said this was not financially doable.
Mr. DeWitt,
And I think he should be man of years for pointing that out.
All right, here's Bob Westman.
On a couple of those issues, you know, first of all, I don't know how anybody can be upset with giving the money school more money, and they did, of course, and they get it from the land fund, which is a good use of the money, which is the money that is supposed to be there for. So it's good that he did that, unless you're advocating that he should take the money from somewhere else, like health, health care or any other part of the budget, which you cannot hardly touch. I think that was a good solution to a very tough problem. And, you know, as far as taking money from the counties in order to balance the budget, you mentioned $25 million. Well, you know, Chuck Huckleberry can spend $25 million just buying some land somewhere. I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket. There's a whole lot of things that got done to balance the state budget that did not rely on the county budgets to do that. So, you know, I can absolutely see that balancing the budget and getting more money to education as being two very good reasons why Doug would be considered for that award.
The problem with that is the State Lands Trust Fund is going to get depleted because of taking too much
not.
Money
if
out of
you look
it,
at the budget,
that's what's going to happen.
There's plenty of money in that fund.
The
and
Republican
you know
treasurer said that.
No, there's
and
money
that's
in that
financially
fund.
Financially not the right thing to do, and it will destroy the trust fund. And
okay.
The second thing about there was the surplus was sitting there to make it happen in our budget. We could have used that surplus.
Okay,
but
there is surplus.
Why didn't we
in
use
the land
that surplus?
Budget.
Because Doug Ducey promised to do another tax cut to rich people in this state.
What good is it
so
to be $5
And that's what he's
going to
use the surplus for.
In
the
land
I guarantee
fund.
You
one
that surplus
time,
is going to be another tax cut to rich
all
people.
Right. All right, let's go to the live line. Matthew has called us, 790-2040. Matthew, how are you? Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yes, I did. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Thank
and
you.
A Happy New Year as it comes and approaches. And
thank
it
you.
Was a, you know, a good time, you know, to see people struggling but doing their best to enjoy the holidays.
What's on your mind, Matthew?
Well, I want your two, people to recognize the biggest thing that occurred for the state of Arizona, which is we are now the 14th most populous state in the country. Now, during this increase in population, which is a remarkable thing considering we've had an outflow of workers that we are barely recovering over the last, you know, 4 years economic downsize. And, you know, this is a very significant moment when we cross into 14th. Because, you know, if you think about it, the state budget is probably $4 billion short of where it should be. So that's $4 billion less money to be spent on people. And my final thing is just to say, I think the person of the year for the state of Arizona is every child in DPS, that is in DCS, or Department of Child Safety, that is struggling to survive because this state is letting them down every single day. They should be considered the person of the year because the fact that they're still alive.
Okay.
And that's my sad comment on the state.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Doug Ducey recently just added more money to DPS, directed more money into that.
What do you think about Matthew saying it's very significant we've become the 14th most populous state?
Well, and I will, you know, there was a period of time where we were growing very fast in the 90s and early 2000s that there was more, quote, revenue coming in because there was more people. And that's why we saw all these tax cuts every single year coming out of the legislature because we had this additional revenue. Well, the problem with that is if you didn't look down the road, it was because of an increase in population. And now we need more services for schools, more services for roads, and things like that. And we don't have the tax base because all those tax cuts were taking place as we grew very fast. And, you know, the legislature said, well, we got all this extra money. Let's just give it back in tax cuts. When in reality, they needed to use it to invest in roads and schools. And now we're left holding the bag now that we've gotten this large population and we can't take care of the basic needs of our towns and cities and counties.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things about the state growing that needs to be addressed, and that is the general wages that are paid in the state of Arizona. We may be 14th now in population, but how well have we done on growing the average wage of an Arizona citizen? And with better wages, you're going to find out, of course, we'll have more tax revenue from the better wages and better jobs. All goes back to getting more company, more jobs into Arizona. You need to do that if you're going to balance out this increase act of bringing
more people
in.
Paul contends we're not going to get those businesses because of they look at our education.
We've already lost a number of businesses, and there was an article about it last fall. Two large companies decided not to move to Phoenix because of the education system, and that's because we've let our education system be defunded by the state legislature. Unless we spend money on infrastructure like people, that's education, and roads and transportation, which we are woefully behind on as well in terms of upkeep, because of our revenue situation, companies just won't move here. They'll move somewhere else.
I can support what you're saying about the roads, Paul. Definitely need to do something about the infrastructure in Arizona. That is one of the things business looks at very closely. Yeah. It's kind of interesting, though. In that case, I think it's Southern Arizona is holding back the state overall because, up in Maricopa County and up in Phoenix, they don't have the road issue we have down here in Southern Arizona, which says, what does that say about the politics of how the money's spent within the county within Pima County? And I would submit to you that the priority to fix roads in Pima County is like bottom of the list.
Well, we did pass the RTA. That is something that the Phoenix passed back in the 80s, and that's what they used to build their freeways and keep them maintained. But I'll venture something else. Our tax revenue sharing with the state is totally unfair to Tucson and Pima County, and it favors Maricopa County and Phoenix. And the other thing is every time the legislature gets in trouble, what do? They come down to Pima County and sweep all the money out more than they do to Maricopa County, which
Pima
is much larger than we are.
Pima enjoys the having the biggest budget in the state of Arizona when it comes to counties. But
we're going to take a break right here. 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Bob Westerman and Paul Eckerstrom are with us on the face-off. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday before New Year's. We'll be right back.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call Five Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
With Five Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Interfaith Community Services and Lutheran Social Services and make your gift today.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Well, 21 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Eckerstrom is here, and Bob Westerman, our commentators for today, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We've been talking about Doug Ducey. Governor Ducey was named the Arizona Man of the Year by the Arizona Republic. Paul Eckerstrom thinks it was really a bad pick on the part of the Republic. However, Bob Westerman thinks it was okay. What do you think? 790-2040. Who is your man or woman of the year here in Arizona? Paul, I know you're very worried about a tax cut coming down in this next legislative session.
Yeah, I think that's why he wanted to preserve the budget surplus rather than use it for the school settlement. He wanted to keep that preserved so he could give another tax cut. He's promised a tax cut every year. He's promised to eliminate the state income tax, which would be disastrous. So that's why I take issue with it. I'll tell you what would make him man of the year.
What?
And you could save money doing it, and you could it into schools and roads. Is if he went down the road of criminal justice reform and eliminated some of these mandatory sentencing statutes for nonviolent criminals, mm-hmm. like they've done in Texas. Texas has done this. They've taken some of those savings and put it into rehab to help people get their lives back in order, and then they take the rest and they save money on their budget.
That would get your vote.
And that would get my vote. And the reason that is you can take that money and then spend it on schools instead of on prisons. And the great thing about that is Texas, where it's a red state, has shown that by doing this, they've reduced the cost of incarcerating people, they've kept families together, and their crime rate has dropped.
What do you think, Bob Buster?
Paul, you're right on when you talk about sentencing as the centerpiece of any kind of reform, without a doubt, locally and nationally. I think that's the right thing to do.
And let me tell you, at the state legislature, you may not get it passed because the prison, private prison system has such a hold on the lobby there. But you can elect county attorneys, for example, in the state, mm-hmm. who have that agenda, because they have the discretion on how you charge a case, how you plead a case. And frankly, Joel Fineman, who's running in a Democratic primary against Barbara Wall, another Democrat, is actually one of those sentencing reform guys. And could make that happen for Pima County, at least locally.
We're going to have Mr. Fineman on the show early in January. Terry is our next caller to 790-2040. Hello, Terry. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, sir. Happy New Year's to you. And you are the man of the year, huh?
No. Yeah, Bill, okay, you're Bill, the man of the year.
I don't know about that.
How about a governor? Can you run for election?
No, don't want to get involved with politics.
I want to say this. I grew up in the 60s, so right off the bat, you know, pretty much my story here,
right,
how old I am. Everything was doing good. I mean, I got C's and B's and, you know, and I actually did 1964 in Monterey, California, which I did the best, believe it or not. But I don't know what the problem is today. Plenty of money is going through there in the education department, so I don't know if it's Washington Department of Education we need to get rid of or change management there, or the styles we're teaching today, is the method is wrong, considering with the European teachers, their model of education for everybody. No, but there's got to be a problem. Need to go back to the 60s and find out what they did right in the 70s.
I'll tell you what they did right. Okay. I'll tell you what they did right. In this state, we had one of the best education systems in the country when I was going to elementary school in the mid-60s.
Yeah, because you were there in the 60s.
I was.
And
guess what? We were the sixth highest in funding per pupil in the country.
Wow.
At that time. And the University of Arizona was the lowest in-state tuition
in the country. It's easy to look at funding as the easy or the reason why everything's going bad. But, you know, there's a lot more to happen since the 60s, for instance. And how many of the kids now have one parent? What's going on in the family? And I think what's happening in the family today has a much bigger impact, I would say, than even the finances of the school district does right now.
Disintegration of the family.
Yeah. It does, because, you know, if John, you can teach Johnny, but if he doesn't want to learn, if he doesn't pay attention, if you know, that's not going to work.
If
every time that parents get involved in education, they do better.
Okay, Morgan. That's been true. Morgan has called us at 790-2040. Hello, Morgan. How are you?
I'm great. I just had a question for the two guys on the show. You guys briefly talked about the governor's state education funding plan earlier, and I was just wondering if either person had actually looked at the numbers and kind of what they thought about the depletion of the fund, because every time I seem to crunch the numbers, it appears that the fund, when you take into account inflation, is depleting by almost 4% every year.
Yeah, I believe, and I think the Treasurer DeWitt pointed this out when he came out against the plan. Eventually this will deplete the fund, and then you won't have a trust fund any longer, and then what do you do? You won't have any money coming out of it. It's taking money away from the principal, and that's ultimately my biggest problem with it.
And I looked at those numbers, and I'll tell you that, first of all, you know, the principal's there, the money's there for the purpose of what we're using it for, which is to get it to the education.
Yeah, and I don't have any issue with that.
But what I've seen in the numbers there is that the amount of money that's going into the fund annually, you say it's reducing by 4%. You must be putting inflation there somewhere, because I don't see that much appreciation over the next 4 years using the money the way Doug Ducey wants to use it.
Well, but Bob, you feel the state trust fund is there for. Let's use it. I mean,
absolutely.
Use it for education.
It is. Well, it's in our Constitution. That's what the fund is there for.
Well, and that's what it's always been used for, Bill. But the problem I had with the whole settlement was we had passed something that said that the state legislature shall fund increased funding for education with taking account inflation, indexed to inflation. And what happened was they didn't do it. And this lawsuit was what it was all over. And so most of the money coming in this settlement is coming from the state lands trust fund, which was already going to education.
You know, but to clear about this, though, you can't continue to rely on this for education, for paying for education. Clearly, we need to work on some of the other issues as far as how we fund education. I know that the formula we use for funding education now is, what is it, 30 years old, and it's one of the most complex, convoluted systems you've ever seen. So you need reform in how we collect money for.
Well, and we were talking off the air that if we put together some sort of commission that came up with a more simple, straightforward formula,
right,
and maybe it does include some tax increases or recouping some of the taxes we've lost, but doing it in a responsible way that's good for business and it's good for the economy as well.
And the trust fund can be used to jumpstart an effort like that too. So there's a place for that in there.
Well, and Bob, maybe we can agree on that.
Okay.
All right. Why don't we end it right there? Agreement on the Monday Political Face-Off. Bob Westerman, thank you very much, Bob. Hope you have a very happy new year.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for inviting me.
And Paul, thank you very much for your service to this program. Yep.
Thanks.
During the year, and I hope you have a great new year as well.
Happy new year.
All right. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run. Since 1985, Moe and the family want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy new year. Remember Moe's for all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Coming up next, a guy who knows more about traffic systems than anyone I've ever met. His name is Mark Spear. If you have any questions about traffic and law enforcement around our intersections, Mark will be happy to answer your call at 790-2040, back right after this.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to bring into the program right now Mark Spear. Mark is a photo enforcement researcher, systems engineer. He was very active with former state lawmaker John Cromco in the pushing to defeat the red light cameras at the intersections. And Mark, there was more to it, not just the intersections. There were the mobile vans.
Right. Yeah. The radar vans that were also run by American Traffic Solutions. They were labeled Tucson Police Department, but they were run by employees of American Traffic Solutions. And they were still operating in the same manner where they would get a what we called a piece of the action for every ticket that was completed. I had to say outright that if you were going to compare fairness, the vans were more fair than the intersections because they did give you essentially a grace period of 10 miles an hour over. And that was because of some legislation that could turn those into a non-revenue ticket. And that's kind of how they got to that point of going 11 and above. And there was legislation passed this year that put that into place across the board. And I haven't reviewed all the actual language and how it's in place, but essentially it said, we're not going to hammer you for the 1 mile an hour over stuff. And there are jurisdictions that do that, but it looks like Arizona is going to continue that. And that was rationally fair.
When all is said and done, what was the percentage that the ban passed by? Getting rid of the ban. Was it 70?
The whole thing, right. Intersection cameras, yeah, and the radar vans, yeah, it passed 65-35, almost to the decimal point.
And across the country, that's pretty much been in that range, 2-to-1, 3-to-1.
2-to-1, yeah, right. See, when you have a jurisdiction like Sierra Vista where you have a limited number of people, mm-hmm, very few people change one way or the other can make a big percentage difference, and they were 3-to-1. And there's been some place when I saw the list of all the different votes, I think it's pushed up as high as very close to 4-to-1.
All right.
In a certain place.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. And I believe we have Lauren as our first call. If anyone has any questions about traffic enforcement or the cameras at intersections, Mark Spear is here.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Mark, I have a question. I was in Phoenix last week. On the way up there is a pole, wasn't terribly tall, had seven or so very imposing-looking devices all pointed right toward you. Same thing coming back on opposite side of I-10, and I should remember where it was. I think it was in Pinell County, the only pole I saw. You couldn't miss it. It was right near the roadway on your right. I'm wondering what that is.
You know, I looked at those, too. I saw them myself. And I was trying to get a good, accurate picture of them. I may stop at one point and get out and look at them. But they were around Sacaton when I was looking at them. And they were down when I came back. And I could see the mountings where they had them. And I believe that is the Homeland Security type stuff. And they're doing license plate scanning. And they may be doing facial recognition and all that kind of stuff. There's something very, very similar to that when you go through one of the checkpoints. And that I've seen those in both Texas and New Mexico. And I believe that's a whole string of those. And when I went through one of them, we were stopped so close to it that I could actually see the labels on them, and they were talking about, like, you know, face plate, front, rear, and that kind of stuff. And I believe that's what they're doing.
But you don't think it's related to speeding?
No, I don't think they're measuring any traffic citation issues with those. We don't have any legislation that puts them back out on the freeway. So I don't believe that has anything to do with that. I believe it is probably a Homeland Security scan just to check traffic and look for specific vehicles or plates that they're aware of. So that's all I can say right now. I got some feedback that it was something like that. So we're staying with that answer right now.
Okay.
And no official answer has been given that I know.
I wish some person dressed as Santa Claus. Remember that incident? If I haven't butchered the memory of what happened down at Oracle and River, I think somebody dressed as Santa Claus had put dark bags over those eyeballs down at Oracle and River.
I don't know that we did that anywhere in Tucson that happened. We protested down there, but I believe all that went on in Phoenix.
All right. Mark Spear is here. Mark, what is the latest now on when we can expect the cameras to, obviously they're not working at the intersections here where they were flashing people. Now, when will the company come and take them away?
My understanding here, and this is from the city manager's office, who have been very good on this. I'm giving high marks to the city manager on this whole
Michael Ortega.
Yeah, I'm giving high marks to him. And they inform me that they have given direction to the company, and it's at the company's schedule. My gut feeling, and it's purely just gut reaction, is that since this happened in November, we followed things up with Thanksgiving and the approaching into the Christmas holiday season and everything, that they probably didn't have additional people during the holiday time to do any extra work. I think it's technically, initiated 30 days after the contract expired, which then would be into December 20th, right at Christmas, and now we're right after. And so my belief is that here, probably right after the New Year's, there should probably be some activity, but it's just a guess.
790-2040, Mark Spear is here if you would like to ask a question. My question is, are we safer, Mark Spear, or is it more dangerous now that those cameras have been removed?
Well, the statistics, and I've been pushing them for a long time, and there's been debate back and forth, but the statistics nationwide, worldwide, and almost everywhere when it's done in a very strong academic environment is that they're relatively neutral, relatively. They almost always cause more rear-end collisions. Was a study, I believe, out of New York that actually put forth the hypothesis, are they worth the effort? You know, is it worth it or not? And they actually came to the conclusion that they were having total more accidents and more damage with the cameras than without. And there are things that you could do with the parameters to, you know, fix that, but nobody wants to do that because then that cuts down on revenue.
It could have been fixed,
though. It could have been fixed, I believe. I offered a lot of things coming up in the 2007 range there when they first put them in and I first researched them, that if you modified the parameters such that you wouldn't be picking off the very trivial violations, which were almost so technical that they were in the, you know, within the reaction time of the driver, and that was what we were harping on the most, those would have, you know, cut things down enough to where people wouldn't get that high level of nervousness there, and you would only be intercepting the more dangerous violations. But that would have cut down their revenue by probably 70, 80, even maybe 90%, and they can't live on that revenue.
All right, a lot of people want to talk with Mark Spear.
Sure.
Ed is next, 790-2040. Ed, go ahead.
Hey, Mark, I'm retired law enforcement. Those cameras you're talking about at Rest Area North of Cache Brandy?
Yes.
They look at the signs that approach area. It says commercial vehicles stay right lane. That's for a commercial vehicle enforcement. They have sensor devices in the ground.
Oh, great.
To measure the weight of the vehicles, Nat. And what that's done is to make sure we don't have overweight vehicles running on our highways and destroying them.
Yeah,
One up there. There's one down 919. There's a couple others around the state, but that's for strictly commercial vehicle enforcement.
Oh, great, great. Well, I had seen variations on that while I traveled the country a lot. I used to move a lot in the military and drive over everything.
Yeah, so other states got it for other reasons, but yeah. The reason the state went to that is our highways are being destroyed by overweight vehicles. So it's just decimating those roadways. If you're the only way we're going to catch them, we can't catch them port of entry. We'll catch them as they travel through the state. And everything's electronic, and it's working out very well. And from what I understand, it's had a very positive effect on making sure people stay within their weight range of their vehicles.
Well, that's great. Well, the truckers, you know, I believe like a lot of that automated stuff, so they don't have to waste time and going
like
through the
port of entry
stop.
In the state. They go through a right-hand, right-lane deal. They've got a sensor in their truck, picks up. They charge the company for their weights and what they're going through for the permits and that. They have to stop, so that saves a lot of dead time idling trucks out there.
Wow. Thank you, Ed, for that information. Let's go now to Timothy. We'll get Timothy in here before the break. Go ahead, Timothy.
Hey, I don't even know if you guys are the right ones to ask, but considering the 75-25 or 70-30 defeat, how did we wind up with these things in the first place? Who okayed this? Whose idea was this? Where did the money come from? How much did the city of Tucson lose in buying these things and then pulling them back out? I'll take my answer off here. Thank you.
Thank you, Timothy.
Right, right. Well, the answer to that is that because we were involved in what I call the piece of the action contract, the city doesn't put out much, you know, real outlay on that other than some assistance in installing and things. So the company essentially absorbs all the cost and the overhead of the equipment, and then they get money per ticket. That has been looked at by many other states, including California especially, as that's an incentive to over-enforce and generate more revenue. And so they specifically said that you can't have that kind of contract and you have to spend money. And so there are some jurisdictions that had lost money for a while, and then they went eventually to taking them out. And the way it came down in Tucson, and I'm going to just speculate to some degree, but essentially what the system normally does is it lobbies the police chief, who brings it forth to the city council, and then they all look at it and see revenue in addition to the presumed safety benefit, and then they started a pilot program. The deficiency that I saw when I was first reviewing all this was that they had no public input to any degree after the pilot program, and they just went blasting on to a five-year contract. I thought that was a big defect in the process, and nobody looked at anything other than, hey, let's keep this going and keep making money.
All right. Mark Spear is here. He'll be around for another segment. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking to take a nice little road trip, we think it would be a great place to go. Just 3 hours east of Tucson. Basically, take a left at off of I-10 at Lordsburg and then head up to Silver City, a beautiful environment up there. Great places to stay like Spirit Canyon Lodge and Wilderness Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat, just to name a few. All the many things to do, like antiquing in historic Silver City or hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, available. The many recreation activities available at Silver City in Grant County, their website, southwestnewmexico.org. 790-2040. We'll be back with Mark Spear. Those on hold, please hold. We'll be right back.
Give local, keep local. That's what you can do by donating to a qualified charitable organization by December 31st. The money you'd otherwise pay in Arizona state taxes can benefit a local charity of your choice. Claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for 2015 by donating up to $400 for couples filing jointly and up to $200 for individuals. It's easy. Just go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. Choose an organization like Youth on Their Own and Teen Outreach Pregnancy Services and make your gift today.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if our future is space? Experience Mars and Beyond at Biosphere 2 every Saturday at our weekly What If special event during December. Growing food on Mars and seeing beyond the solar system are just a few of the adventures you can experience. Come visit the must-see wonder of the world today. Info at biosphere2.org. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're talking photo enforcement with Mark Speer. Mr. Speer, a researcher and systems engineer. And Mark, when did the first photo enforcement, it's been around maybe for 40 years, something like that?
Right. They started out actually using film that they'd have to go up to the pole and take off and read and whatever. So the concept has been around, I'm going to say, from the 70s, 80s time frame. And the earliest place in Arizona that I know that adopted it was Paradise Valley. And I think they were actually even back into the film age there. And we might be able to find some history there. But it came in about then. But the popularity exploded once they had digital cameras so that they could just transmit it all electronically. And then it became a political issue to get legislation in place to be able to do it. Some parts of the country, the cities themselves have their own ordinance for the photo enforcement. In Arizona, they enforce state law, so it had to be statewide legislation to allow it. It's still done by the city, kind of in the name of the state. And it's actually really funny when you go to court Because when you go to court, they get up and they announce the state of Arizona versus you.
Right.
And there's nobody from the state of Arizona. The police act like they're part of the state of Arizona, and there's a technicality in the way that, you know, police officers are.
But it's really the company.
It's really the company versus you.
The company versus you. Anyway, Ingrid has been waiting very patiently to speak with Mark Spear at 790-2040. Go ahead, Ingrid.
I have a few questions. And because you do read the proposed legislation, I'm wondering when you're going to be running for office.
Yeah, I let's just say I got too many enemies and too many skeletons for me to run for office. But I don't mind being involved here. You know, there's a lot of good candidates that pop up, and I've supported a lot of them. So I'll probably just continue to be a researcher and supporter and never be the guy.
Well, that's good for us. I'm glad you're going to stay in it. Now, at any time after the lights stopped flashing but the fixtures were still up, were motorists being monitored?
I'm not aware of that, but I'm only going to say that historically they have done that. Normally their process is that they keep track of things as if it was a violation and then try and argue their way back into the system by saying that, oh, we got, you know, 200 more violations versus this and this and this. And typically the answer to that is that people are no longer doing the dangerous things to create rear-end collisions, and so they will do a minor violation in a technical sense, but it's not dangerous, and so you usually don't see much increase in true accidents. And if you do, there's something about that intersection that interesting that you should probably research. And there's some merit in measuring things like that and then sending out real police to enforce it. That can be a discussion somewhere, but the city could do that all on their own with the equipment they have.
So are you saying that if you're on camera and you cause an accident, theoretically you can get a ticket?
That's the way it actually should be, though, because these are civil violations. They should all be tied to something where somebody has a loss in damages. In other words, if they only gave out the tickets when there was an accident, you could actually almost justify that too, because of the fact that you'd say, hey, well, you know, there was damage. But when you're talking about a tenth of a second violation turning into a $400 ticket, it's really hard to justify.
Okay, Ingrid, thank you very much. Now, what about radar? We still have radar enforcement in Pima County and in the city of Tucson.
Right. I don't know how much the city does. I mean, they certainly could do it with a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, if you take what we passed, you could actually even do that in a van with a police officer. Now, I thought, you know, if they were going to do it, that could make sense. And they just need to be bonded and sworn. But they could be essentially, you know, what the old days they called a meter maid category. Police officers could be doing that. But they'd have to buy the equipment and they'd have to, you know, do it all themselves. It was that automated handout of tickets in volume that is what, without having to put in any hard effort, that really attracted people to this photo enforcement. If you're looking at it from like a money and just volume standpoint.
So what is next for you and in this area? You're going to be looking at the legislature?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's going to be going out very soon here. I'm going to send it out to all the guys I know personally, and we're going to try again to put in a intersection definition bill, which changes the intersection definition in Arizona to what it is across the country and approved by the federal government to be that white line that you stop at just before the crosswalk. And it makes total sense to do that. And if you have to stop there or continue past there, it's a good point. When what happened in Arizona was the intersection was defined by this nebulous extension of the curb lines. You would stop at the white line, but you wouldn't get credit for being in the intersection until you were maybe another 1 second or up to 2 seconds farther ahead of you. Very confusing and very crazy, and actually put forth the ability to make a left turn on red from the left turn lane completely legally because you weren't in the intersection yet. And that shouldn't be really encouraged. But That's something you actually can do if there's enough space there, which is nutty. You know, you don't want to do that.
All right, Mark, we're about out of time. That industry, is it now, is it kind of a dying industry,
yes.
The photo enforcement industry?
The CEO of Redflex is not calling it dying, but he's calling it non-expanding. This is the opposite company that we had here, but he's one of the major players, and he said it is not expanding, and that's because cities, the public, everybody has taken another look at it, and it's not effective the way they're doing it. But there are some other things that can be done, and I will be bringing them forth to the city council. We might be able to get safety from equipment without having enforcement. That's my goal.
All right, Mark Spear, thank you very much. Mark, I hope you have a great new year. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Always a pleasure.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen, 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 8. And then the Daily Double, Christy Simone, 8 to 9. And Sean McCluskey's new show, Talk of the Town, from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show at 12:04. Until then, Ray Allen, my fine producer, and myself wishing you a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.